Welcome to the Nutritious and Delicious podcast with me, Bethany. Our mission is to support busy parents all over the world to learn time management while taking care of your nutritional, physical, and mental health. After all, a healthy family starts with a healthy parent. So I'm super excited today. I have Dr. Camilla Holst here with me, and she is a chiropractor, and I'm super excited to talk to her. So she is originally from Denmark, and she started out as a pregnancy and postpartum chiropractor. And she's been doing this for 14 years. She is trained to become a postpartum coach as well, written a women empowerment book, and lived in Hong Kong as well and practiced there. So she has actually been featured on 40 Under 40 list, and she has also lived a year in Marbella, Spain, where she has spent her maternity leave with her son, developing an online C-section recovery course for new moms going through an emergency C-section herself. She's obviously experienced a lot of this as well. Her mission is to create and support network for moms so no one has to suffer alone in the fourth trimester, and as a result, get the best start to motherhood. So welcome, Camilla.
Thank you so much for having me, Bethany. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, me too. I find a lot of our moms here, they're really looking for postpartum care. And I'm excited to have you on today because you're kind of the first chiropractor we've had on here. And I'm really excited just to ask you some questions kind of like on your own journey. And currently right now you are pregnant with number two. So this is a great place to kind of go and talk about postpartum care for our moms and stuff. So today we have the topic of chiro care for postpartum recovery. So let's dive in and talk about what got you started as a chiropractor and what you're actually dealing specifically with moms right now. And maybe you can share a personal story with us too here.
Sure. So I was one of the youngest chiropractors to finish school. And then I got like my dream practice position, but it was all guys.
Oh, interesting.
So it was kind of natural for me to gravitate towards the women, the pregnancy and the babies. Yeah. And then I let all the guys do the sports injuries and like the big guys. It's like, you can have all those. So that was just, it was just so natural. I was quite young at the time. People kind of thought I was the secretary. They asked, like, when is the real chiropractor coming in? So that was quite fun.
Yeah.
But I kept at it. And I realized treating pregnant women, it was like different energy. And I really liked following them the whole pregnancy and seeing the development. And then listening to their birth stories and just releasing any trauma and negative energy around that birth so that the baby would have like the best start. Because I do believe that if you help in the beginning, so I had this crazy vision that if I see as many babies as possible, I won't have to see them when they grow up. Like the sooner you see them and you correct anything from birth, because it is quite hard for a baby to get born, you know.
So, it is.
Yeah, but just the whole journey of the whole pregnancy, or even the start of the pregnancy, people in fertility treatment and like seeing them finally have their dream baby. And then I love that journey. I love this journey following these women, and we get such a close relationship as well, because it is such a big milestone.
It
when
is.
You have your first baby.
What kind of happened with your own sort of journey with, you know, did you do that kind of with your first son or anything like that? Will you be doing that with your second?
I sure did. It's almost like we can't not can't help it. So I had a very traumatic birth, actually. I waited so long. I did career for like 10 years, and people kept asking me how many children I had. And I remember in the end, I was like, I don't have any children yet. You know, I was really struggling getting pregnant. But I didn't mind, because I saw so many babies and pregnant women during the day. And then I could go home, relax, have a glass of wine. So it was like the perfect both.
You got your baby fix throughout the day.
I did, yes. But then eventually I was like, okay, I'm not getting any younger. So I I thought, okay, I was very practical about it. I was like, okay, let's plan this and like, let's do this now. And then I started IVF treatments when I was 34 and finally fell pregnant.
That's after awesome.
I think a year or something like that, after trying for a few times and learning by mistakes and all that. So yeah, but then like you have this anticipated baby. I had the perfect pregnancy. Like I was like, what is wrong with me? Like I hear so many stories how bad it is for everyone. I felt really, I was like, what's wrong? This is such a nice pregnancy. But I was so positive and happy and into it, right? I meditated and I was so prepared for the birth and did all the right preparations. And then I had like the worst. I almost died in childbirth in an emergency C-section.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the rug just got wiped away under me.
Right.
And I remember just looking over at my partner when I started just feeling faint. I was losing so much blood. Oh, and I remember thinking, I'm not getting out of here.
Right. I had chills down my spine.
I looked him in the eyes. Yeah, me too. I looked him in the eyes and I said, babe, promise me you're going to take care of our son. It's like, you have to promise me.
That's so scary. Yeah, I've heard I've heard a lot of like stories like that. It's tough because we go into, I think, either labor, and I've noticed this one thing, we either go into labor and delivery thinking that we can handle it, all this stuff, and you obviously had such a good pregnancy, you're like, oh, the birth will be so easy. I kind of went into it thinking more so like, because I'd seen births because I'd been a nurse prior, so I'd actually been at live births like when I was younger, and I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I can do that. But I kind of just had an open mind, I guess, and was open to whatever would happen. But my aspect was, I think I had sort of a perfection of like the fourth trimester, which is kind of what we're talking about, and how blissful it should feel and all this. And I had none of that. So I had kind of the after, and that's what kind of caused my anxiety and depression after like being a new mom and stuff. That's very scary. And I do hear quite a lot of women having those scary birth experiences. They have a plan, they go in, they want a natural birth, they come out with a C-section. I almost had an emergency C-section with my first, didn't happen. Luckily his heart rate came back up and all was well, but it can happen in the blink of an eye. And like you said, you know, it's tough in that situation because you're not expecting it. And I what I was thinking as you were saying that is, this is I think why we do what we do. Like you do the chiropractic stuff with moms in the fourth trimester, and that's amazing because of the experience that you've had. And you said you felt like the rug was pulled out from underneath you. The same with myself is the postpartum in terms of mental health and recovery. Like that was huge for me, and that's kind of what I do now, is I help moms, you know, after with their postpartum mindset and care and looking after themselves first. So I'd love for you to kind of go over a few of the main problems that you're seeing in your clinic kind of after some of these moms have had C-sections versus natural delivery. Like what are you kind of seeing in your practice?
So my clinic was in Hong Kong, and in Hong Kong the C-section rate is actually much higher than the States. I think in the States it's around 1 out of 3 babies that are born with C-section. In Hong Kong it's 41%. So it's quite
that's
high.
That's high, yeah.
And similar to the two countries is, you guys don't have maternity. It's like little to none maternity leave. So it's pretty pressured to get back to work. So you don't really have the time to recover properly. So I basically had this impossible job of making the woman ready to go back to her office job. It was just heartbreaking. You can barely like function, and then you have to go back to work. I mean, it's just inhumane. And the thing is, when you get a C-section, they cut like 7 layers, including your abdominal muscles. Yep. So you literally, I'm an old athlete.
Yeah.
So I've always been super strong. And then going from being super strong also during pregnancy, I was doing reformer Pilates and everything.
Yeah.
And And then from one day to the next, literally couldn't go to the bathroom on my own.
Right.
And it just hits you like, what is this? I'm feeling so weak and don't know what to do. And that affects you, not just physically, right. but mentally as well. And that's exactly what I saw in most of the women, right? It's very rare. I got a woman in like, ooh, I'm just right. feeling super duper, right? They were feeling depressed and in pain. And what happens when you cut the core is that you lose, it's kind of interconnected with your lower back. So right. you lose all control of everything. And then your back muscles get weak. And then you get back pain and hip pain and everything. And some women have the hormone relaxin produced for yeah. longer periods of time after. So you're still kind of loose in the pelvic girdle.
Right.
So you're just on top of like the scar healing and the pain from everything. You get this lower back pain, even like sciatica. And you also you can have numbness for months and months after. So it's just, it's a much more complicated kind of patient scenario when women go into C-sections.
It sounds like
compared to vaginal birth,
yeah,
because the body just, and I'm not saying it's supposed to give birth like that, so it recovers faster,
right?
Like the muscles and everything recovers faster than when you cut something that's not supposed to be cut there. Like your whole nervous system just breaks down.
Right.
And it's like, what's happening? You know, like there's no connection down there.
It sounds like you're in a body that you're not, it sounds like you're in a body that you are not used to being in. It's like all of a sudden you go in with this strong muscle mentality and mindset and everything. You come out and you feel weak. And you can't move. And even the basic functions, like you said, of just going to the bathroom, because it's all connected, right? And if you're an athlete and you're used to being a certain way, it could probably cause a lot of anxiety and depression, I would imagine, for moms coming out of it. So you're seeing moms after, obviously, like lacking sort of their basic function. And now they're holding on to a baby that's at least 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, recovering not just from, you know, the birth and everything, but now they're kind of like, I'm in this body that I don't even feel like I can properly use anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, sorry.
No, I mean, it's just, you have to start over in a way. And that can be really hard to accept for most people, not just athletes, but like any kind of woman who's used to doing everything on her own. It's so hard to ask for help and feel weak. I think for me, that was the biggest thing.
Right.
I'm not used to asking for help. I do everything.
Yeah.
Like I'm the one asking other people's, you know, telling them what to do. And all of a sudden I'm this like weak person that needs help with everything. Right. So, and I think a lot of women feel like that. Then especially during COVID, there was, you know, not a lot of support network because we had to stay away from each other. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's good timing.
It's very tough, I found, for asking for help. I'm the same type as well. Like I kind of do everything myself, and I think it's more of an A-type personality, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But it's I think looking back, I'm like, I wish I slapped myself upside the head and said, just for God's sakes, like ask for help, because you're drowning and you can't manage. And you know, the out, like letting myself actually get to that point. I had to sort of get to that point, I think, of I needed people around me to actually lift me up. And, you know, I can imagine with COVID and everything like that, people are losing sort of their, like, they're isolated. And you already feel like that as a new mom anyways, right? So having that network of people around you is really important. So I think that's where, like, having even, like, virtual calls and stuff like that with family members, like, I know, but again, you've had a C-section and you probably need more physical help. Like, you need someone to help with the laundry or pulling things up. Like, you're not going to be able to do, like, your basic stuff around the house even.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what are, like, 3 or 4 tips that you feel that women need to do to help themselves, whether it's, like, their mindset or the actual recovery itself after having a baby, that you usually kind of talk to them about in your practice as well?
Yeah. So I think number one is, you know, we have expectations like we talked about earlier. most of us have expectations of what life should be like. And when that doesn't happen, we can get quite disappointed or even mad. Mm-hmm. So I think the first step is to really allow those emotions. So not judging that you have those emotions, accept that you have them, acknowledge those emotions. Maybe even like what I did was, okay, I'm going to give myself a deadline of 30 days. And I literally put a cross in my calendar and I said, okay, I'm allowed to feel as mad, as sad and miserable for the next 30 days. But when that day arrives, I'm going to change. I'm going to do something, start exercising little by like little steps. But I let myself feel those emotions. And I think most women, we like kind of close it off because we're not supposed to feel like that. We're supposed to just enjoy and have this amazing, perfect little fourth trimester. You know, for God's sake, I waited like 5 years to have this dream baby. Like, why am I not happy? Right. So we have all these expectations we put on our own shoulders. So I think, number one, accept and allow exactly how you're feeling about your birth experience, whatever that looks like. And then ask for help. Mm-hmm. that was huge. I think that was probably the biggest one.
Yeah.
Asking for help. I'm going to ask so much for help next one. And not talk bad about it. You know, again, like not judging yourself for asking for help. Ask for help. It's
what
okay.
Baffles
People
me,
want to help you.
What baffles me is like, I feel like it's more like a Western society thing of like not asking for help. I find that like other cultures, other tribes, they're used to having people helping them. And I find that with, you know, the Western societies, we're very much like, no, we can do it alone. I'm really good at my career. I'm really good at like doing all these other things in my life and sorting everything out. Why can't I figure this out?
Yeah.
You know, but we're not letting it in, right?
Exactly. So allow yourself to ask for help. And then the third part is your physiology. That is alpha omega, because if you're in bed all day in the dark, slouching, you're going to feel depressed. It's just it's physiology. So you need to get out. You need to get some sunlight or just go for a 5-minute walk, anything, little steps, move your body. Because when you move your body and you change your physiology, you change your mindset, you change your emotions. So that's definitely interconnected. And I learned that from my dad, who's a Danish version of the Navy SEALs.
It's
the legend in the Frogman Corps. And depression wasn't a thing, because if you started feeling a bit weird after being in war or whatever, like they were always off somewhere in a war, you went out and you moved. And he taught me that at a very young age. You know, if you're feeling bad after school, whatever, if you had a tough day, go for a run, you know, move your body, and you will naturally, whether you want it or not, you will feel better.
Right.
So I really used that mindset that he taught me.
That's great.
And reminded myself when I was feeling my darkest, like, okay, I'm gonna continue having these emotions and feelings, but I am in control of, you know, getting outside.
Do you think it's
putting
more
that
like
baby in the stroller and getting outside, like first thing, whatever it takes?
Do you think it's more like an actual like moving your body to like release endorphins, or just being out in nature itself? Like, or do you think it's kind of the combination?
Yeah, both. It doesn't, like, I was in Denmark last time, and you know, it's pretty gray and dark and rainy, so not a lot of sun. But just the fact that you get out and get some fresh air and you move your body, like that's the number one. If there's sun and it's beautiful, that's just like added bonus.
Right.
You're just lucky if you have that around.
You live by a beach, you know.
but just starting also like slowly activating your core. And there's like specific exercises where you could, and I teach people this in the course, because all women get separated abdominals after pregnancy. That's just a fact, because your abdomen expands so much. Mm-hmm. So getting control of that and getting that gap to get smaller so that you have more control of your core, you get less back pain. So that's all interconnected. So little specific exercises and functional training to to activate your core again and your glutes.
Right.
Because you do have a baby, you know, and you do need to lift this baby around and do normal day stuff. So you need muscles for that.
Yeah.
So your physiology is super important.
I noticed that with myself, even like just going back, I guess when I got the green light to go back to the gym, I had a personal trainer that was helping me postpartum sort of with my body. And one thing that I think stood out to me after having my second was I didn't have a huge abdominal separation, but just my stability was completely off. Like even just like standing on one leg, I couldn't even do it. Like, I'm like, what's the matter with me? Like, why can't I just normally like... But she's like, your core isn't there. So again, like you said, it connects with your back and everything else. And you know, if you're not being careful, you can really strain other muscles to overcompensate, right?
Yeah. And I remember when I was filming my course that one of the exercises is literally standing on one leg. And then I gradually add more stuff to it. And I fell down. And I kept that in the video because I want to show people that you start somewhere.
Right.
You're not perfect when you start out, and that the balance is really important, and that gets cut off in a way, like, because you do lose that connection down to your body. You lose that, and you gotta relearn. That's really important to incorporate that, even though you think, why should, you know, that's just insignificant, but it's not. It's so important to start the right way.
I think a lot of people...
And that's my fourth advice. See a specialist, whether it's a personal trainer, like a postpartum physiotherapist or whatever, or chiropractor, it doesn't matter, or osteopath. There's so many options of specialists that is so worth it after giving birth to get the best start and just get that activated in the right way so you do it in the right way.
Do you find that a lot of the clients that come to you, are they first time moms or second time? Like, I'm just wondering, because when I look at and sort of think of my friends and myself, I found it was more after having a second, and I could imagine after having more children, you feel weaker, I guess, with each pregnancy, each birth. How do you like see that? Is that like a normal thing to see, like a first time mom versus like second, third, fourth time moms?
I usually see first time moms, and then I see second time and third time because I've been it for so long, which is amazing. And then rarely I get a third time mom and they all say, I wish I had known you before.
Right.
So I really try and get people to see me proactively before, instead of when it's too bad, you know, when it's, But it's definitely hard. Every time it gets harder and harder on the body.
It does.
For each pregnancy. Yeah, it's heavy. I can even feel that now compared to last time at the same time. It's much more heavy to walk around than it was first time because everything has been so expanded.
Right. How long does that relaxing hormone typically last? Because I noticed that as well for like when you said the expansion and things like that in your hips. Is that normal to last several months even after like birth?
Yeah, sometimes it can last 4 or 5 months. It really depends, you know. People are very different. Some people are very stiff, some people are quite hypermobile, so it really depends on your genetics and how it all codes,
right?
So if you're really unlucky, you know, and it's like you know, some people have it before, much before birth. Normally you're supposed to get it just before so that your pelvic can open up, but you know, some people have it much sooner and they can barely walk around. So it's very much up to your genetics, how soft you are.
Does that get worse during each pregnancy, or is it just kind of like if you've had it before? Like, I know I had it both of my boys, and I had it leading probably 7 months into pregnancy, and then it was several months after having both of them, and it's the motion of getting out the car one leg, or putting your foot, or you're putting your foot into your jeans or something. It's moving your hips outside, and it feels it felt like I was made of spaghetti. That's
exactly
pretty much the notion of, I was like, I feel like my legs are gonna pop out my hip sockets. So what about babies themselves? Because I also did bring my son in. My first I didn't, and I probably should have because he was colicky, but my second I brought in because I actually took him to a baby chiropractor because I felt like just after birth, I wanted more of a holistic treatment to kind of adjust him. But what's kind of your thoughts on like the babies being treated themselves?
Vaginal birth obviously is quite a big pressure. So often I see the neck being quite tight after birth. So I always check that. But then depending on the symptoms, you know, it can be a favorite side to breastfeed on.
Yeah.
Or they're just lying and looking more to one side, maybe developing a piece of the skull that's more flat. So it's like little side, because they obviously can't tell you. So you gotta be a little bit of a
detective.
And then just like colicky babies, it basically that's not normal. You're not supposed to cry nonstop.
Yeah.
And if anyone tells you that, it's like, okay, get a second opinion, you know. You're not supposed, and it's so hard on your relationship as well, having a colicky baby.
Right.
It's hard enough becoming a parent and lack of sleep, but then on top having a baby that's screaming like that, it's unbearable.
What do you
I do help a lot of colicky babies. Even my son started kind of developing a little bit, and I immediately went in and treated him. He also started getting reflux. Then I treat like the middle of the back, and he was very lucky. Even though he was a cesarean, but he was stuck in my pelvic for so long, head down. So he was very tight in the neck on the left side.
Oh.
So I felt that right away when he came out, but I was too weak. I couldn't even lift him.
Right.
So I didn't treat him until, I think, I have a YouTube video about it. I think he's like 7 weeks when I felt like, okay, I can actually treat him now, and I was feeling okay. But if I could, I would have done it like on day one.
What do you find with the colicky and reflux babies? Because I experienced really severe colic with my first, and I probably should have taken him actually into a chiropractor, but I didn't think it was a chiropractic issue.
Yeah,
I thought it was a
gut.
People
don't know.
I thought it was a gut issue.
It is a gut that isn't developed properly, but you can help that out just like with anything else. You can adjust the little vertebras where the nerves that innervate the intestines go out. So that's what you do. You just find wherever it is. And the same if it's like constipation, it's the same nerves. So if there's any kind of imbalance, it will give you symptoms like this, and you can ease that transition and shorten it. There's no need, like eventually it will go away, but who wants to wait 5 months for that? Like that's 5 months
I wish, like, I look back and I talk to so many like practitioners now, and I'm like, dang, I should have like actually done something at that point. I didn't know, right? Like read up all this stuff about, like, you know, gas and colic and all this stuff, and you try all these solutions and nothing seemed to work for months and months, and it was tough. But the second time I went very holistic. And the second thing you said, constipation, that's what I dealt with my second. So I took him in, got him adjusted, and they both had reflux still, but the second one didn't cry as much, I would say, in terms of that, but they had the same issue. So, you know, I probably, looking back, probably needed to take my first into the chiropractor and maybe stimulate what you said, the nerves and the intestinal and not really knowing that myself.
Everything. So. You just remove any imbalance and then they feel much better. Babies adapt so fast. So like when you see a grown-up, you need to treat them more. Babies are so quick to adapt. It's amazing.
Well, they're brand new.
And their nervous system is brand new. So if you just remove the little imbalances, they will do the rest. So it's just amazing watching.
Oh, that's awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to point out to the moms here in any way that you can help them with the postpartum recovery?
I think the biggest part is to give yourself some grace.
Yeah.
Don't be so hard on yourself. And don't compare yourself to other moms. You know, close down social media for a few weeks if that helps. Because there is a lot of expectations. So just tune that out. Do your own thing and know that you're not alone.
Right.
I think that helps sometimes when you know there's other moms out there at 3 a.m. feeling like you're feeling.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Yeah. Just don't put so much pressure on yourself.
Or even, I guess now when I think and I look back, I'm like, I should have done all these things. But again, I can't go back in time. I can only learn for the future.
Try and enjoy it. That's my biggest regret is that I lost so many weeks with my son not enjoying it and not like being present.
Right.
Because of all the expectations and everything. Like laundry can wait. Like who cares?
It goes by and so don't fast.
Feel, yeah, it goes by so fast. And even, well, that was the only positive about COVID, that I didn't have to have visitors. So that was quite nice.
Right.
Because a lot of people also sometimes feel pressured to have right. a lot of visitors when you're not even ready. You're not even healed. You just right. want to be on your own with your baby. So just do you. Do what feels mm-hmm. good for you. Don't feel bad on other people's behalf. Mm-hmm. Stop the guilt tripping yourself. Especially like women, we need to stop feeling that guilt. Just let it right. go and do your own thing.
And definitely, I think if you can sort of, I know for myself too, it was like I couldn't let the house go. But if you can hire help and get a cleaner in, get somebody in, at least if they can get other things done for you around the house. I know second time around, I ended up hiring, I think because I was so anxious, I ended up hiring a doula to help me kind of transition afterwards as well. And I think that really helped my mental health and sort of going into like, I can do this and I'm not just like shoved at home right away with a newborn and a toddler and kind of the same experience I think I had before where I felt like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, what? Yeah. Like someone help me here, you know? But again, and I think that was me second time around really actually asking for help. So I appreciate everything that you've said today. I think this is really going to help a lot of mums out. So where can our mums actually find you? Social media, website, all that.
So I'm most active on Instagram. I love Instagram. I'm at Dr. Camilla Holst. And you can always DM me there if you have any questions at all. Mm-hmm. And you can also find the links in my bio if you want to work with me or see what other things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
I love that. Well, I'll put these in the show notes for everybody, so if you want to contact Dr. Camilla here, that's amazing. So thank you so much for coming on the show today, Camilla. I'm super thrilled to have you on, and like I said, I've never experienced anybody like talking to a chiropractor, and I think it's well needed for not just moms but the babies as well. And I think once moms actually start putting themselves first and understanding that like you also need that care and recovery yourself, I think this is where we can be better parents to our children as well.
For sure.
So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.